Lord, we just want to thank you for Tori and thank you for the blessing she is to us. But also thank you, probably even more, Lord, the blessing that she is to the people in Myanmar, to the wounded, to the vulnerable, to the orphans, to those who are homeless. I just want to pray that you'll keep on being with her, keep on helping her to persist when the conditions are tough, when it's hard to go on, that more and more people may know the light of Jesus in their lives and come to follow you. Amen.
It's great to be with you. My name's Tori. I've been part of this congregation. I don't even know how many years now. It's over 10 years at least, I think, or nine. It's been a long time and I've loved it. The last 3 years I've been living in Myanmar, but I still feel very much a part of you all here. So thank you so much for having me today. And you know, this friend of mine who texted me yesterday, he often says to me, you know, how do you do what you do? He really struggles to cross into the Burmese culture. He's married a Burmese lady. He can't stand the lack of hygiene. He finds the culture really difficult. He finds the heat really difficult. And he's constantly saying to me, because he sees what I do, and I speak very openly about Jesus. He's like, how do you do it? How do you do it? And even yesterday, he was saying, I don't know how you do it. And I was like, well, it is only Jesus. It's only Jesus, isn't it? It's only Jesus for each and every one of us in whatever we're called to. It's the inspiration of Jesus, isn't it? It's the inspiration of his life. It's the inspiration of his reality. It's the truth I have found for my life. Many years ago, I first started going to this country. Some men asked me before I went into the nation. They said to me, will you do something for our people, our nation? And I said, yeah, okay, I will. I didn't know Jesus. And so I did politically for at least a year. In fact, I wrote in one article, I wonder without the inspiration of these men, will I do anything? And for at least a year, I was motivated, but then it just all died. The reality is, it's only when we meet the reality of Jesus, the truth of who he is, that we find that we touch into the source of his life, the beauty of who he is, that we can keep going. It's not even a good book. It's the best book. It's the word, the living words of the Bible. That's the source. It's how we find him. It's not just the latest program. It's not the latest method. It's not the latest inspirational speaker we hear. It's none of that. It's not even good theology. It's Jesus, isn't it? It's the reality of Jesus that keeps us going. It's Jesus that inspires us. Only this year I was asked to go and speak to some people who are working with this tribal group that you've heard of in the news this week. These people, they're on the ground in this area, and the stories that I heard when I was with them were just terrible. The stories of abuse, the stories of rape, the stories of burning of villages, and this was, you know, back in March. It's not been this week. But before I went, I was so ill. On the Wednesday, I suddenly got struck down with this sickness. I couldn't move. I was in so much pain. The team I work with was so wonderful. They came round and they prayed for me. One of them said, Tor, you're going to go. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I knew I was flying in 6 hours. I thought, there's just no way I'm going anywhere. And I remember they left and I was sitting on my bed and I was saying, Jesus, is this the enemy trying to stop me going, or is this you saying I shouldn't go? I don't know. And it was like, I remember praying and saying, Lord, right now my theology is not getting me anywhere. I just need to know the reality of your presence. What are you saying to me today? And I felt that he said to go. I woke up and I'd missed my flight. That was disappointing. So I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. How am I meant to go? Went back to sleep, and in my dream, I dreamt I was getting ready to get on a flight. And when I woke up, I suddenly realized, oh, I can book another ticket. And I went, and I was able to encourage these people working in this desperate situation. But the inspiration for us is only Jesus, isn't it? It's Jesus that keeps each and every one of us going in our marriages, in our families when things are tough, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in whatever it is or wherever it is God has called us. It's the inspiration of Jesus. And that's why I love today's passage. Now, I'm not going to be able to do what Roger would be able to do. I just simply can't. But I can see Jesus in this passage, and that's when I read it, and I was like, it's just all about the reality of Jesus, isn't it? It's John just coming straight in to Jesus. You see, in this world, even in this current contemporary place that we live, this world, there's so many voices, there's so many things we can look at, there's so many things we can touch, aren't there? Whether in the virtual world of computers and Wi-Fi and that sort of place, or whether it's just in the reality of our lives, the things we can touch and the communities we live in, the lives we live, the people we spend time with. We can see, we can touch so many things. There's so many voices, aren't there? In our world today, so many voices. Are they fake? Are they true? I don't know. There are so many things put on display. Advertising boards or coming into our computers all the time, things being displayed to us. So many things vying for your attention, my attention. So many things. They're contending for the highest place. But then there's this passage. And I love John. It's not like Paul or Peter, who kind of often introduces Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. It's not that. It's bang. We declare to you what was from the beginning. John is completely hidden here. He's just straight to Jesus. It's the immediate sharp focus on him. It's the assertion of the apostles' experience as they spent time with him, as they walked with him, the one who was descended from David according to the flesh, who God raised up from the grave, powerfully declaring he's the Son of God. See, John's writing to a community of believers, I believe, in the most simplest of ways of expressing it, is that this community of believers had either a too high view of Jesus or too low. And John is wanting to write into this a really balanced Christological view of who Jesus is. And so he comes straight in to this declaration of the beauty, the reality of Jesus. I'm going to read from a slightly different translation just because it might hit us in a new way. It's Tom Wright's. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have gazed at and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Our hands have handled. It reminds me of Acts 17, where Paul is in Athens and he's so, you know, I live in a place where there's so many idols. And he's so stirred up and people are debating with him and they give him the opportunity to speak. And as he stands to speak, he speaks of this unknown God, this statue to an unknown God. It's the inscriptions to an unknown God. And he says, I proclaim to you the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Grope, that word, there's the same in the Greek here, as John is asserting, we've touched him. This is the reality, as I live where I live, as we live here, our God is so wanting people to know the reality of his life. He's so wanting people to touch him, to see him, to hear him, to gaze on him. Isn't that amazing? I know it so clearly where I live because it's a land of idols, but even here, those idols, they just look different. But ours is a God who people don't know. But he wants to be known. He wants to be reached for. And when we seek with all of our heart, we find him. It's the promise that he's given us. That life was displayed and we've seen it and bear witness. And we announce to you the life of God's coming age, which was with the Father and was displayed to us. That which we have seen and heard, we announce to you too, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Messiah. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. John is saying, we have heard. The assertion that they, as the apostles, they recognize the sheep's voice. We have seen with our eyes, just that sense of the resurrected life of Jesus, that they touched him when he was raised from the dead. Thomas reached and touched him. Mary held on to him at the grave. We've gazed upon, we've touched, we've seen. How much more blessed, Jesus said to Thomas, when you believe because you've seen. How much more blessed are those who will believe when they haven't seen? You know, this tremendous blessing we haven't seen in quite the same way here today. But we're here today because in some way we've seen. In some way we've glimpsed something of Jesus. It's brought us here. It's brought you here today. And Jesus says we're blessed. we're blessed. And from this revelation that they have, that John has, the apostles have, comes this powerful declaration that this word of life, the one who's existed from the beginning, this Jesus, he's the pre-existent word, but he's also the one, the word that was incarnate, became flesh, dwelt amongst us, that these guys touch, that we can touch. It's that reality that everything of Father's heart was just completely expressed. Something of heaven came and just dwelt here on earth, and they were uniquely brought together in Christ. It's this extraordinary Jesus, our inspiration, and he is our reality. And he brings this advanced display of what is the future. You know, that there is this age we live in where there's suffering, and there's the suffering we see on the news, the suffering perhaps we might know. But there's this coming age which the ancient Jews understood, where God was going to deal with everything. And this is what's happened. And Jesus, he's burst in to this world, and he's brought this coming age, the kingdom of God, where there's joy, there's righteousness, there's the breaking in of his healing and his freedom. Joy, peace, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit, it's the kingdom of God. There's that sense as he lived and he delivered people and he brought life to people. It's that coming age, breaking in. And these guys, they knew what it was to see him, to hold him, to touch him, and to that then to completely transform their presence. They went from this group of men that were fearful and didn't know what to do, that completely transformed, that they turned the world upside down. Because of who they'd met, because of who they'd spent time with. And this is John's declaration, that which we've seen, therefore we declare. Because when we see, revelation can bring a strong declaration. The more we see of Jesus, the stronger we can speak of him, the more we can share of him. We don't have to grope around in the dark, because actually we can touch him today because Holy Spirit's been given, and he's here, and we can know for ourselves. The reality, not a virtual God, the real Jesus, present here today. We don't just drift into him, though, do we? We don't just drift into Jesus. There's a sense that as we come to him, there's amazing appointments he brings into our lives where we meet one person, we meet another, and one day we arrive in this place of decision and we say yes to Jesus. But as we go deeper with him, there's intention, isn't there? There has to be. I come back to spend time here in the UK. If I just drifted through the summer, I'd see no one. I wouldn't get to have time and fellowship. I have to be intentional. I have to say, Debs, I want to come and stay with you. We don't just drift into touching his life, into seeing more of him, into hearing more of his voice. We've got to give him time. We've got to sort of turn off all those other things we see, turn off all those other voices we hear, turn off all those other things we touch into, or remove ourselves from them and give him time. And as we spend time with him, we find we see more of him, and then there's a strength of declaration, whether that's with our words or just with our lives, the way we love people, the way we serve people, what we do with our time, what we do with our finances, all of those things. He's our reality. And we don't just drift into more of that. We have to be intentional. And you know, whatever we've seen, whatever we've heard, whatever we've touched into, the reality of Jesus is enough. The sufficiency of Jesus is enough for you, for your story, for what it's been, what it is, what it might be. Jesus is enough. There's many things as I live and I work in Myanmar, and I remember the first year I came back, I'd heard so many stories, and frankly every year I hear so many stories. I hear the stories of chemicals being used. I just shouldn't use the name of the country. I must remember that. I've heard of chemicals being used in the north. I've seen a man returning to his family who they thought was dead, coming back from fighting. I've seen the trauma in his life. I've seen as Jesus has ministered to him. You hear the stories on the street of the children, how they have lost everything and how they've maybe had a family who had to run away because of the abuse. You've seen the little girl that's been taken away and trapped in drugs. There's so many things that you see, so many things that are so dark and so difficult. And you sometimes can feel a bit overwhelmed. I know that I can. We all can in different ways, even if it's just the small things. that aren't the big things of someone being trafficked, that aren't the big things of someone having no parents. Just the small things sometimes can overwhelm us, can't they? Things, the stuff of family life, the stuff even of what's going on in London. You know, this is, we live in shaky times. It can feel overwhelming. And I remember when I came back the first time, I was worshipping, and I didn't realize in this event that I was in, they were recording a live album, but it came to this song that declared that Jesus is worthy of it all, that exalted Jesus. And all I could do, I realized that in all that I'd heard, and all that I'd seen, and all that I'd touched, what I needed was Jesus. I needed to touch again Jesus. And so all I could do, and it wasn't like it was my conscious thought, I just started shouting, Jesus. Very, very loud, because there were a lot of people there. I didn't realize they were recording a live album. And then if you fast forward, maybe 6 or 7 months, I'm back in Myanmar. And again, I'm in one of these times where stuff is hard, and things were happening, and I was seeing and touching the stuff I didn't want to see and touch. Someone texted me and said, you should buy this album. So I bought this album, and I played the track. They didn't know it was me shouting, but I played the track, and I heard it. I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's me. I'm the mad person going, Jesus! I did it really well. I did it in time. I was quite pleased with that. But, you know, sometimes I just get on the floor before I even go out the door, and I just realign with that truth of who Jesus is. And I touch again. I have to touch. We all have to touch. It's not just me there. It's all of us here. The way you're living. I drove into London and had such a deep sense, this is a wounded city. The stuff that's happened this year. I couldn't but help but feel this emotion. We need to see, touch his presence. We can't just drift into it. We need to intentionally say, Lord Jesus, I need to touch thee here, you afresh. I need that reality again and again every day. And I realign with that, and I listen to that. Because Jesus, even just seeing him, even just touching him, even just hearing him, it's enough to strengthen us again, isn't it? It doesn't matter how small we feel. Because when we see Jesus, we know we're not small. We know we're with the one who is the champion of history, who has this wonderful new age that is breaking in. And we're part of that. And it's a phenomenal privilege. I was talking just last weekend, my parents celebrated 50 years of marriage. Isn't that amazing? And we had a drinks party. Drinks parties, has anyone been to a drinks party? It's a really fascinating thing, isn't it? I haven't been to a drinks party for years, but people literally, the drinks party dump. Have you ever noticed this? I'm talking with David, and someone will come up and introduce, oh, this is Bruce, and then they walk away, and you're left with someone. Have you ever experienced that? I call it the drinks party dump, and my dad's really good at it. And so he kept kind of bringing people to me. And I was talking to this one lady, really lovely lady. She was really interested in what I was doing. And she obviously realized that it was just me and a bunch of people. You know, there wasn't some great organization. We're just the church. And she said, so you don't mind feeling powerless then? And I thought, this is the moment for the drinks party dump. Because these people, they don't necessarily know Jesus. They don't necessarily love him like we do. So I said, well, you know, I don't feel powerless. We aren't powerless. We have Jesus. And this poor lady, her face. And I think the conversation went on about another 30 seconds and she went somewhere else. But it's the truth, isn't it? You know, we are in Myanmar working on the streets on a Friday night with these children, seeking to prophetically embody who the bride should be, going to the least, going to the lost, going to the ones that no one else sees. And there's reformation needed in the country for children. You know, I do believe as we go low, that actually, like the George Mullers, like the William Boos of the past, as we do these things at the very simple level, actually it's possible that powers can be spoken to, that God can do something to actually say, this is how it should be. We even this year had the news come along saying they wanted to film us. We said no, because we didn't want to be seen and it wasn't the right time. But I do believe as we do what we're doing, people are watching. I know that. And so we trust that some reformation will come in this country with regard to children and to what children should and shouldn't have, what children should and shouldn't be exposed to. So he is our reality. We have to intentionally seek him. He's enough when we feel weak to make us feel very strong. And as we touch into his life, as we touch into this truth of, you know, here in the NSRV that I read, and also in the NASB, it uses the word eternal life. Sorry. But actually in the Greek, that word, it more refers to not just the sense of eternal life being this spiritual thing that is of the future, but it's this sense of God's kingdom that breaks into now, time, space, now. And as we obviously realize that, and as that changes our present, as we meet and as we know Jesus, that's what compels us, isn't it, to live differently. It's what compels me and what I do to go and to say to these guys that live in a land of idols, there's a living God. There's a living God that you can touch, you can see, you can know. We have something to say when we've met with Jesus. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I can feel I have nothing to say if I haven't really connected with him. I can feel lost for words. But if we're living in that place of connected and abiding and at home with him, we have things to say. We have, and as the church, we need to speak. We need to make declarations of the truth of who Jesus is. Not only for the sake of the church, like John is here, making this statement of who Jesus is. That we need that in the church, don't we? The truth of who he is. But also we need that declaration out there. That people in this world today, where many people don't understand who Jesus really is, we need to be encountering him so that we can then declare him. Amen. Yes? We need to live from that place of revelation so that we can speak, to bring other people into this fellowship, as John says. To live from revelation, to make declaration, to say my reality of Jesus, it can be yours too. You can share it, you can come into this fellowship. You can know communion with the Father, with the Son. And that's what we do, just to, you know, finishing off. That's what we do every day. It's what I'm doing in Myanmar. On the most simple level, my declaration is I've moved here and I'm here. Sometimes that's as much as I can do, is in the spirit, just stand and say, as I am here, I make manifest and declare with my life, Jesus is here. And other times it's more than that. So at Christmas we went to the prison. I couldn't go into the prison because I'm a foreigner. There's many things I can't do because of being that. But we prayed before we went in. All the guys were going in. They were feeling a little bit frightened because it's a man's prison. And they hadn't done it before. But these guys, their faith's frightening. They're willing. They're really willing just to, if Jesus says it, just to obey him and go. As we're praying before, I had a picture of a guy with a ponytail and tattoos on his arms. And I just felt the Lord wanted to speak very, very simply to him that he loved him, he saw him and was with him in that place. So I said to the team, I said, look, I've just had this picture, you know, I just share it. If he's there, talk to him. They went into the prison and Marjar was standing to preach, this woman that I work most closely with. She's standing to preach and to share, and she looks right in front of her and there's a man with his hair drawn back and tattoos on both forearms. You see, when we have revelation, we spend time, we touch him, we see him, we hear him. It's not just for us, it's so we can go to others and say, actually, there's this living God. And so then they had to do, how are we going to reach this man to give him the message? Because there were guards everywhere. So this one person over here, Marjar, kind of winked at her and said, I can see him and I need to speak to him. She sent one person this way, another person this way to where the guards were to distract them. So then she went into the crowd of men and shared this message with this man, and his eyes just filled with tears. And all she was able to do was just say, God bless you, before she had to move on and go. So you see, we want to see, to touch, to hear for ourselves, but also for others. From that place of revelation to then bring that declaration to others. He's alive and he's for you. There's Lapient Moore, who's a young boy in the market that I've known for years now. Just back in, I guess it was March, I felt the Lord prompt me to go and try and see him. And as I turned up in the market, I saw him. He was skeletal. He was so thin. And my eyes filled with tears. I was like, what's happened? What's going on? Anyway, he had TB, tuberculosis, and was still having to work because he still had to provide for his family. So we arranged that I would give him enough money to be able to stay at home and to do all the things that the money from the market would otherwise be providing for, so that he could just rest and take his medicine. And we then would go and visit him every week and pray for him. He, every time you see him, he says, Rob's met him, he says, I'm Buddhist. Every time. Every time I say, it's okay. I love Jesus and he really loves you. And, you know, I want to spend time with you. We're friends. I pray with him and it's fine. But over the weeks, as we met with him, as we prayed with him, you could see and you could sense God was really working in his heart. And there was this one week we turned up and we'd been encouraging him, you know, you can for yourself. He's got eyes and he can see. He's got ears and he can hear. He's got hands and he can touch. You can for yourself call on his name and he will come. If you feel really desperate, you can do that because he's alive and he's real. He's not virtual, he's real. And Lapierre Moore, the next week was smiling, just like he'd never smiled before. And he's just bubbling with this testimony because he had had such a terrible fever that he was basically lying in his bed and he didn't know what to do except to shout for Jesus. As he shouted for Jesus, he immediately vomited. Not a nice story. And and then the fever left. And he's like, your Jesus is really powerful. And we're like, he's yours. He's not just the foreigner's God. He's yours. You can touch him. You've touched him. You can see him. You can know him. And since then, he texts me while I'm at Revive, and he's praying that he gets more jobs, and he's finding God's answering him, and, you know, something's come alive in him. And that all started because you just intentionally spend time with Jesus. He says, go to Lapierre Moore, and you go, and then with that, you find that there's just this strength. You know he sent you, and you know he's going to do something. And so I feel today that the Lord wants us to just know that fresh inspiration. It's not about this book. It's not about this person. It's not about whether you've been to that conference or this conference. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. That actually he is real. That he wants us to touch that reality. Not just drift around hoping for more of him. Hoping that we'll find that. Just intentionally, I encourage you, just intentionally go into his presence. Go afresh. Just, even if it's just to fall on your face and you have no agenda to say, I need more of you, I want to be hungry for you. Just do it. And as you do that, we will find that the strength of our declaration to one another, to encourage and to build up, to this community, to the popcorn kids, to the people you work with, whatever it is, will just grow and grow and grow even stronger. So let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the wonder of who you are. We thank you that you are enough. We thank you whatever's overwhelmed us, whatever we've touched, whatever we've heard, whatever's been on display and vying for our attention, today we just stop. We just stop and we come to you, Jesus, and say thank you. Thank you that we have seen you. That's why we're here. Thank you we have heard your voice. That's why we're here. But Lord, we say we want to see and touch and gaze upon you more. We want to have this strength of anointing like John had, just to from that place of revelation make these powerful declarations, to draw people into the knowledge of your love, into the knowledge of what it is to live in communion with you. So we just come and we say, take us deeper. We say, open the eyes of our heart, open the ears of our heart. Take us deeper. Lord, let us not drift around just hoping we'll bump into you. Lord, help us to set time aside. Help us to turn off those virtual words. Help us to turn off the TV and just to give you time to come into your word and to just be with you. Holy Spirit, we know it's your work in us. So would you come and would you draw us? Draw us out after Jesus afresh. Draw us out afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.